I'm Taylor.
And I'm Brittany. Together, we are two sisters who are here to help you learn some tips and tricks to help navigate this crazy journey called life.
We are doing our second episode. That's three. Second episode, two.
Well, as banks to do is
two. You do two. Sorry, my son uses his pointer fingers for two, if you aren't watching us on YouTube.
We're on YouTube, just if you want to see our facial expressions.
See our lovely faces. I mean, we have similar facial expressions, so it's fun. We are doing Raising an Anxious Generation Part 2, which if you didn't catch us last week, it's a good intro to it. We're talking about how generations have influenced what is currently happening now, as well as technology, social media, environmental factors, etc. So we kind of did an overview of like, is anxiety just more now? Is there actually a stimulus? Is it a myth? I think the myth was busted. What do you think, Britt?
Anxiety is definitely not a myth, but
it's... Yeah, well, I think the myth is people think it's just not as bad. There's definitely studies showing that it's increased since the 90s to 2021.
Yeah.
But again, we go through all the factors why it's increased. So check it out if you can check out that episode. This is part two.
Yes. Okay, so stemming from that, we know what anxiety is. So now let's kind of talk
we kind of know what anxiety is.
Well, like we talked about how it's like your fight or flight response. It's we can have situational anxiety, which is a like, hey, I'm stressed because I'm graduating from high school and I need to figure out what I'm doing with the rest of my life. Situational.
Yeah.
Or we have chronic anxiety, which is my body will not disengage from fight or flight all the time. And so I'm constantly reacting to things and like catastrophizing, which we'll talk about today, and like building on top of things and like just constantly looking for the worst or feeling overwhelmed or nervous all the time. And Taylor's laughing because
you did a great job.
Some of those.
No, I was doing snaps and then I hear my little son squeal down the hall. So it was kind of
that is not anxiety. That's a 2-year-old.
Yes, but you did a great job summing it up. When I have people come in though to the office, I have anxiety. Okay, what does that mean? And they're like, I have anxiety. And I'm like, okay, saying you have anxiety is like saying you have cancer. Like, what type?
Where is it stemming from? What's happening?
There's multiple types of cancer that you can have, right? And this is the best analogy I've come up over the 10 plus years I've done this job. There's multiple types of cancer you can have. There's multiple types of anxiety you can have, right? And there's the origination of where it comes from and how you process that out does really matter for me to help you. And that's what people don't realize is I actually really need that information. And most people don't realize it. So there's two different parts, right? And I tell all my clients this when you come in. There is the cerebral part of anxiety, which is the thought processes, right? You have a cognitive process built from the reaction of having anxiety, meaning that you have ways that you have been trained to think as a reaction of this fight or flight or worry that you have all the time. And we will go into those in a second. The second part is you have body reactions. So your fight or flight system is activated, which means then that you're going to have all these weird body symptoms. Like I ruptured my Achilles tendon when I was 21, and that was actually from stress. I had high anxiety, didn't know it. And it put so much strain on my tightness. We carried in their feet. Yeah. In the back. And other people carried in their hips. Other people carry in their like stomachs, their necks. Like it just, where your body carries it. And sometimes like it is genetic sometimes, right? Like our family carries in their feet more. And then sometimes it's just personality. Yeah.
I had bronchitis and I was coughing up blood during high stress points in my life.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And it's very common. And it's also very, interesting because there's different types of stress too will be carried commonly in certain areas, like a lot of high trauma or like sexual victims will carry in their lower back and hips. So interesting, right? Different areas work and like more tension are usually in the shoulder. So somatic work is very fascinating, which somatic work, if you don't know what that means, is just your body's responses connected to your mental health. So
yeah, because it all goes together.
Different parts all goes together. So both parts are activated when you have anxiety. We work on both of those to get holistic treatment, right? If we don't identify both of those, then I'm leaving party untreated. Let's go to cognitive. What are the thought processes of anxiety? There's five.
They're so fun.
There is overanalyzing, catastrophization, what if, rabbit hole, and broken record. Where do you want to start?
I guess we'll just start with overanalyzing. I can think of examples for all of these, and it's so fun.
so fun. So overanalyzing anxiety is about predicting the future and the past. You're not in the present at all. It's all about what could happen and what has happened. Trying to control the unknown. Because in the moment, it's known. I know I'm sitting in this chair listening to my kids scream up and down the hall. That's known. But then, are they going to get dinner then? I don't know. I'm not in dinner. Right? So that's where anxiety is dealing with that. Overanalyzing is dealing with the past.
Yeah. I should have handled the situation different. If I hadn't have called them on the phone that day, then I wouldn't be in this situation right now. Blah, 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 blah.
Why did I do that? It's so awkward. I should have set things smoother. Why am I so weird? Yeah. Why did I wear that? Why did I look that way? It's worrying about things that happened back, right?
And thinking the other one by worrying about it.
Or the more that you ruminate on it, the more you're going to have it go away.
Yeah. And it's it doesn't even help anything. What was the meme I saw recently? I don't know. It was something about I worry about all these, 99% of the things that I worry about have never happened. So it must mean that I fixed it because I worried about it. Or it was something stupid like that. But it's just really ruminating on things and just getting stuck in that cycle of, I do it all the time.
I remember this quote from a long time ago I read when I was a teenager from Sandra Bullock. And I remember her saying, I worry about so many things that could happen. None of them have ever happened. And it's the very things that I didn't worry about that did happen. And I'm that is so true. So true. The things that you do, you can't predict, you cannot predict, which is a what-if-er, right? The future stuff, worrying what is going to happen. What if, I remember postpartum with Koa, I had really high anxiety and OCD. And I remember one day being what if the bathroom starts to leak above my kitchen and then the bathtub falls through the kitchen ceiling and then it falls on Koa and Koa dies. Okay, girl, what? What if?
Right? What if?
What if? Yeah. Okay. All right, crazy lady.
I got stuck in one last night too with my husband and he was like, why are we even talking about this? I don't want to get back together with my ex-wife and remarry her and have all these other things happen. Why are we even talking about this? And I'm like,
where is this going?
But what if? What if? And he's like,
what if? And it's why? None of that.
We don't need to go there. We don't need to go there. Yeah.
None of that. Overanalysis. Catastrophization is jumping to the worst possible conclusion or scenario. I do this one a lot with Manson. So I'll be like, Koa is not in the house. Okay, have you guys noticed I worry a lot about my dog? He got hit by a car though 2 weeks postpartum, so there's a reason. But I'll be like, Koa's not in the house. He's lost. Is he okay? Is he safe? What if he doesn't have me? What
is it? Jordan, yay, you were on the phone with me. And you were like, is Koa still in here? He's being really quiet. Is he in here? Did he run out? Did he get hit by a car? I don't remember if he was in here. And I was like, dude, he's in the car with you. You're fine.
Koa. You're like, Taylor, seriously. But it's worrying about worst case scenarios. And you jump there really, really fast.
Really fast. It's okay. And it's not even just a minor. It gets really serious really fast.
It's A to Z, man. It goes 1 to 100. It is terrifying. No, it's everything is dying. We're all dead. It's all over.
Now. Exactly.
It's all complete.
My relationship is way over and they'll hate me.
I have so many of my clients doing the same thing where, it'll be about school or college acceptance or something like that. And I'm like, honey, there are multiple pathways. And I was telling somebody today and I was like, you know what I wish I realized back in grad school? Is there a million ways to get to the same conclusion? And they're like, what? And I'm like, there are a million ways. So if one door closed, it will be fine. I will find another way to get that route. But we don't realize that. They're like,
I'm just like, that Instagram video is just going through my head. I think of all the things that will not happen.
It's insane. So yes, you will be fine. I promise.
I struggled with this as a young mom too, because it was like, I would catastrophize all the situations. Do you remember that? And I would pack my diaper bag Adam's going to have a blob on the airplane when she was a baby. And then she's going to throw up and then she's not going to like the snacks. And then she's going to do all this. What?
Then you'd forget the binky.
Right? Yeah. It's like, I would worry about all these other things.
That didn't even matter. And then the very thing was like, why are we hunting down a binky again for the fifth time?
I was worried about
the blob. You forgot to pack them.
That never happened.
Yeah. And that's what I always would laugh at with you, because I'd be like, you didn't get the thing that was like the most important, which was like gonna really make it happen.
Because I was catastrophizing about the stomach flu. Which leads to the next one. What if? What ifs are based on future concerns. So what if Adeline gets a stomach flu and we're on a flight and then she blows up all over the airplane? What if?
You guys see Brittany's anxiety coming alive? This is what it sounds like, guys. Just think about it in your head.
And I gotta pack all these things and I gotta have 10 outfits and then she's gonna poop on me and then I'm gonna need access to 2 other outfits. And so what if? What if? What if?
All right, broken record. That's a broken record, is because she's going through the same scenario 3 times. And you just can't.
I drove my husband crazy with the broken record.
That's a broken record.
I already said sorry. I said sorry 5 minutes ago. Why are you still going off about this? I'm like, because I'm not over it yet, obviously.
Last one is where you rabbit hole. Rabbit holing.
If I don't fix this, the world's going to end. And then I got to worry about 5 other things. And if she doesn't have the stomach flu, then she's going to end up with hepatitis or salmonella because she eats her poop. See?
You need rabbit hole. That's a rabbit hole, guys.
Boom. I'm really good at this. Method acting.
Really pretty. I don't think that was method acting. I think that was reality because I've lived. But anyways, those are the 5 thoughts.
I had caffeine after 5 o'clock, so you guys are getting the real deal here.
Those are the thought processes of anxiety. Hope that helps you all.
You're welcome.
That's what anxiety is. And you're going to notice that you share some of these. That's awesome. But
some of you might also have all 5 like I do, and then you just really get to drive your husband crazy when it's 11 o'clock at night because you're doing all the things and it's a great time.
You just made me so happy. That was so funny. Understanding these anxiety thought processes, though, it helps you identify where to go or what to do, right? Because if you're trying to like fix a broken record, but they really need help with the catastrophization, like the techniques aren't going to work at all. So it's knowing
totally different techniques.
They're totally, or like if you're trying to help like with futuristic things, but like they're talking about the past, like you gotta go a different approach. Future is unknown. Past you have to accept, right? So past is an acceptance and a peace and finding that you did the best you could with what you have, versus future is like you still have some control over that though. And you also have no control, you know, like, so it's finding like they're very different approaches. So being able to kind of know the patterns of them will really help you.
And your kids will definitely respond. Like my 2 kids have very different responses to things, right? Like luckily for them, they don't have all 5 like their mom does, but like, I can't respond to Anson the same way that I would respond to Adeline. So so learn these and like figure it out. And then you can easily identify like, oh, my child is catastrophizing right now. Or like Anson's favorite is what ifs. Like I remember one night there was this big meltdown for him because he's like, what if I have to go to college and have to give a public presentation and I don't know even how to talk in front of people so I can never go to college? And I was like, why are we worrying about that? You're 9. Like he's 10 now, but at the time I'm like, why? Like, why are we worrying about this?
What's driving this right now? You know, and that's where a lot of the things that I tell people to go back to though is like, what's the emotion driving this? And they're going to say like fear or worry, but it's like, but there's something else there, right? Like all my what ifs are driven by like, I don't want to lose anything. I really like what I have. I don't want to get hurt. I don't want to like, you know, and a lot of people are the same way. So it's figuring out like, what's the emotion driving that too? And the more that you can teach your kids emotions and how to identify them, the better these conversations will go.
Yes. And even helping them to realize like I've been able to like, and we'll talk about this more in future episodes, how to help your kids, but like help them to be like, you know, hey Ada, like you're actually catastrophizing right now. We're not going to actually gain anything from this. Like you need to slow down. But
it's helping them label. So then they know, I got into a trap of it's like a mind trap instead of, or like a mind maze, right? Instead of like an actual logical thought. Because the problem is anxiety has learned to use. So we're having an emotional part of the brain control the logical part of the brain. And that's what these thought processes are, is they're a response to an emotion. So they sound logical because they are happening in the prefrontal cortex, but they're created by an emotion. They're not actually logical, right? And that's where like when I told my husband the fear that I had. They are, because it's driven by an emotion and we have them working together. This is a hard part though, as we're always trying to get those 2 sides of our brain to talk to each other, but sometimes one takes control of the other. And usually if you have anxiety, it's going to shut down the actual logical part and just create its own logic, right? To explain mm-hmm. why it's there. So having other people outside of you, like when I told my husband the Ko example of Ko was going to get squished by our bathtub because it's going to melt through the bathroom or the ceiling and fall on our dog. he was like, damn. And he was really nice about it, but he was like, first off, how will the bathtub fall through the ceiling? I was like, well, what if it leaks? And he's like, well, wouldn't we see the leak? Like, that'd have to be a pretty bad leak for us to not see it. But then, you know, and he like walked me step by step, and he was like, the odds of Koa being in the kitchen underneath the bathtub at the time that it falls through our ceiling, what's the odds of that? And what's the odds that our dumb dog doesn't move out of the way, right? Like, what, wouldn't he move out of the way? Also, his favorite spots are not underneath the bathroom. Just talking about this, it's so funny.
Our husbands are so logical at things sometimes, but then it just really gets frustrating because they're being logical, but I'm like, no, I have an emotional response to this, and listen to me. Like, and well, our kids the same way.
The problem is the emotions have to be addressed too, right?
Yeah.
Because usually he'll come and he's like, hey, I know you care about Koa. I know that he's safe, right?
There you go. Yep, that's bingo.
It's the two-parter that you have to remember when you're addressing this is validate the emotions and then work with the logic, right? Get the emotion down. Because with me, it's always like, Taylor, I get why you're worried
about Koa. You love
your dog. It's okay. Like, he is okay. He is safe, right? Like, he's alive. He's safe. Nothing bad happened. And then he will go into the logic with me. And that's where I think you have to remember when somebody just comes like that, you're catastrophizing, this is stupid. No.
Don't call me that.
You have big feels right now. Like, I got you. I can see that you're feeling lots, but or what kind of thought process are we using right now? Okay, let's get the emotion now. What's the feeling you have? And then deal with the logic. Does that make sense? So it's a step-by-step thing of you want to figure out why it's present, what emotion is driving it, and then kind of go into that. Well, are we catastrophizing or rabbit holing? Like, what are we doing?
What are we doing here? Yeah, if you're lucky like me, you get to roll the dice and you get one of six or five, whatever.
It's five.
Probably just spiraling. Gotcha.
Oh my goodness, it's so funny. So, and that's where, you know, a lot of people who think really logically, it's good if you can identify if you lean more towards an emotional thinker or a logical thinker. Emotional thinkers are the ones that let the emotions drive and the instinct drive what they're doing. Logical is the ones that come up with valid arguments and kind of that like actual track of mind, and the emotions are really out of it. So we both married very logical people, which is good. They're both very emotional people.
But then our emotion definitely drives our logic because we're like, I can tell you why could it work.
So I have been trained for many years to separate the two, right? Yeah. So the other night, Madsen decided to get into a very logical conversation with me. I was like, fine. Let's do this. So I go totally logical, zero emotion behind it, totally argumentative. I had all my points lined out. I had all the rationale, education behind it. And he was like, I don't really know how to do this. I was like, yeah, because I never actually argue like this with you because this is my like therapist brain, not like Taylor at home brain. And he was like, I really don't know what to do. I don't know how to do this.
What do I say to those?
My intellectual side. But that's where if you can try to practice the other side, I am definitely not natural at it. I've really had to work for it, and I still have to work for it. It will serve you.
But then it gets hard because I feel like when I turn on my just logical side, then I commit myself to things that emotional Brittany actually really hates.
But you don't use the logical side for commitment. You use it for understanding your own brain.
I need to get better at that.
You never pull out the logical side for a commitment. That's not how you operate. That's stupid.
Stupid.
That's a whole different conversation.
That's a whole different conversation. We'll address that later.
All right.
You don't do that.
So breaking it down for you, this is going to matter when we're talking about this later on for coping skills and understanding. The five thought processes are overanalysis, catastrophization, what ifs, broken record, and rabbit hole.
And let's just summarize again really fast, just because I know I did great examples for you guys. You know,
overanalysis is past, overgoing the past. Catastrophization is going extreme. What ifs are future based worries. Broken record is where you repeat and fixate, and then rabbit holes where you combine multiple of them.
Yeah, it's my favorite. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anything else?
Okay, so we're gonna do No, because we're going to do some other episodes. So there's some, I mean, there's so many things we can talk about with this one. So our next episode, we're going to talk about how we as parents can create and affect anxiety. And
So we're going to talk about parenting and being a model for anxiety, but also 90s parenting style. Combining those two.
yeah,
Do it
and
for
I think it'll be helpful.
the 90s.
So,
All right, my friends.
yeah. And if you're still confused on this, send us questions. We love responding to questions as we get them. So if you're still kind of like concerned or confused about the difference between these different anxiety thought processes, like reach out to us. Taylor and I are kind of like laughing about this just because it's something that we've really had to stew on over the years, right? And work on. But if this is a new concept to you, we want to make sure that you understand it before you dive into the next episodes. So send us a message, ask your questions if you need clarification, and we are here to help with that. So,
You guys got this.
yes,
It's not as
a
intimidating
little
as it seems.
overwhelming. Yeah, don't catastrophize on your own. Just message
Yeah,
us.
it's not that bad. It's not that deep, guys.
So,
One of my teens told me that today. It's not that deep, Tay.
not that deep.
Awesome. It's not that deep.
Cool.
All right, my friends.
All right. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you on the next episode.
Bye.